Welcome to the weekly service message from the Crossbridge Church. Look for us on the web at www.crossbridgeny.org. Join us now as Pastor Terry Wiese delivers this week's message.
Well, good morning. What a beautiful day it is. A great week. And I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but our church has a mission statement. And this helps us to have clear vision and purpose. And many of you may not be able to quote it. And some of the new members may not be able to either, but the older members, I believe, are able. But let's look together at that statement. Crossbridge Church exists to bring glory to God by making gospel disciples and sharing the love of Christ with our community and our world. And in our series, Around the Table, we've been speaking about our church and about areas where we are doing well and about areas where we are needing some improvement. And we want God to build our church, but it must be done His way. His word is our blueprint. And if we want a healthy church, a growing church, we must follow His plan. We're starting this new year focusing on discipleship and what that looks like for us. We've looked at Crossbridge Great Commission that God gave us in Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. What that looks like for us. A command that He gave to us. He said, go therefore and make disciples. Then last week, Pastor Nate told us of the beautiful mission that God had given to His church and to every believer. And that is to go out and share the gospel with others through evangelism. And if we're going to be the church that God wants us to be, we must be obedient to His word and the commands of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so this morning we're here, we're here gathered around the table, again like families do, and we're going to look at the early church in Acts chapter 2. This is the first church. It's a new, young church. The church at Jerusalem, it began on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit filled 120 believers that day. They learned together. They fellowshiped together. And they grew together. I didn't say they were a perfect church. But this church was going in the right direction. One of the things that stands out to me about this church is that they were growing together. And that's what we want to focus on this morning. What does it mean for our church to be growing together? Now, Crossbridge Church is a family. We are a body of believers who desire to bring glory to God by making gospel disciples who desire to share the love of Christ with our community and our world. There should be no lone wolves, no lone rangers. The love of Christ with our community and our world. We do life together. We serve Christ together. And we should always be growing together. But in order for us to grow together, we must understand that some things need to take place in our own lives and in the life of our church. And that's what we'll be looking at as we read our text today in Acts chapter, in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42 through 47. And I invite you, in honoring the word of God, to stand with me as I read His holy word. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47. Verse 42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the number, to their number, day by day, those who were being saved. Let's pray. Our most gracious and wonderful Heavenly Father, it is our desire to be the church that you commanded us to be. And Father, as we look at the example that was laid out before us in Acts chapter 2 here, may we endeavor to make it our purpose and our priority to be a church as you designed us to be. May we set aside all of the anxieties and worries and fears that we have. May we make you our priority. God, may we long for you. May we desire you more than anything else. May our heart be filled with the Spirit of God. And may you encourage us as we go our way to make and to serve and to live the life that you've called us to live, and that we would grow together as a community of believers here at Crossbridge Church. It is our desire that we would love you and that we would serve you faithfully and bring you glory. And we praise you and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, the first thing we're going to see in our text this morning is if we're going to grow together in Christ, we need to be certain of our identity. So what do I mean by that? Well, the Bible tells us that we're all sinners. Now, if you've been in church any time, you know that. There's none righteous, no, not one. We were born in sin and destined to spend eternity in hell. That is the identity we're born with. But God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to come to this earth where He lived a perfect life, a sinless life, then bore our sins upon Himself to pay for the penalty of sin. He died and He was buried, but He defeated sin and death by resurrecting on the third day and lives at the right hand of the Heavenly Father. He's alive. He did not die. He died a physical death, resurrected to a new life. His life as God. He was God, and He maintained being God. If you are here today, and you've accepted Jesus Christ as your own Lord and Savior, then you're a Christ follower. You're a believer. A change has taken place in your life. There is a change in your identity. We are now in Christ. We now identify with Christ and the teachings of His Word. If we look back just a few verses before our text, we'll see that Peter was preaching to thousands of people. This crowd had earlier condemned Jesus to the cross. In Luke chapter 23, verses 18 through 25, they had condemned Jesus, and now here is Peter preaching to them. And Peter said this, and they were listening to Peter preach with the power of God. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 36, if you look there, It says this, let all of the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom, what? You crucified. He's speaking to the very people that crucified Jesus, that cried out to him. Cried out, crucify, crucify. Listen to what happens in verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Now look at verse 41. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine being over in Eisenhower Park? 5, 6, 7, 8, 10,000 people there and preaching the word, and 3,000 people say, I believe. I confess. I repent. God save me. This crowd who did not believe in Jesus, many who hated him, turned their life to Christ. There was this transformation in their identity. And if we're going to grow together, we must know who and what we are growing toward. What direction are we going? What's our goal? Where is our specifically aiming for? And that aim, that goal would be that it's Jesus Christ. That we're growing to be like Jesus Christ. And as a believer and an unbeliever, they cannot grow together. That's just not a healthy relationship. The question is, do you know Jesus Christ as your own personal Lord and Savior? Not do you know about him. Not do you go to church. Not have you been baptized. Not do you give to the church. But do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Has your identity been changed? Do you know him? Has your life been transformed by his saving power? And if the answer is yes, then you have a new identity in Christ. John Piper says this, and I quote, I found from the Bible that my basic identity is that I have a nature designed by God to glorify God by enjoying God. That's the deeper thing. Not just that you have been created to have an identity by virtue of nature designed to make much of God, but to make much of God by this heart craving for God, longing for God, aching for God, and finding supreme satisfaction in God. That's who I am designed to be most deeply. If God is most glorified in me when I am most satisfied in him, which is the answer that I found is, then I was stunned by the implication, namely that I should then pursue satisfaction in him all the time with all my energy and above everything else. And I should be on a mission to help as many people do that as I can. To have as many people find their way into satisfaction with me in God, at whose right hand are pleasures forevermore, end quote. So my question is this morning, do you enjoy God? Do you have a craving and a longing for God? Do you love him, desire to know more of him? Worship him more than anything else. That's exactly what happened to those who received his word and were baptized. Their identity had been transformed by the gospel of Christ. And once we have established our identity, then we must consider whether we're going to be a church that grows together. We must look at our priorities, and we must see how they line up with God's work. We must see how they line up with God's priorities. And if you look in verse 42, it tells us this: and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers, and all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. In these two verses, we see vital elements that make up the actual function and life of the church. It says they devoted themselves. That's an interesting word. Devotion. Devoted. It means to continue to do something with an intense effort, with the possibility of difficulty. To devote oneself to keep on, to persist in. And so what was it that these believers devoted themselves, that they committed themselves to an intense effort, and they committed themselves that it could be and would be difficult to do? What was it that these people devoted themselves? What was it they devoted themselves to? Well, it says in verse 42, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings. Now, while the early church didn't have the New Testament, they had the Old Testament. They had God's word in the form of apostles' teachings. The church was at Jerusalem was committed to receiving the word. You see, we cannot live out life when we don't understand what God wants us to do. What we don't know and what we don't understand, we cannot live the way God wants us to. And that's why it's so important for this church to hear the apostles' teaching. They wanted to know the truth. They wanted to be instructed. They wanted to be exhorted, encouraged in how to live and how to be Christ-like. These believers were devoted. The very men and women that cried out, "Crucify," were the very men and women now that received Christ as their Lord and Savior and the transformation of their identity. And now they are devoted here. They want to know more about Him. There's that longing and desire to know God. These believers were devoted. The question I ask myself and you need to ask yourself is, are we devoted to the teachings of the Scripture? Do we have a hunger and a thirst for God's Word? You see, we have men's Bible studies, ladies' Bible studies, life groups. There's no shortage of the teaching of the Word of God here at Crossbridge. And I get it. Life is busy. But their life was busy too. And there was such a transformation in their identity. There was such a transformation of their heart into a heart that loved God versus hating Him, that they desired to know this God. And their position was to do whatever it took to know Him. I would encourage you to sign up for the fundamentals of the faith, to sign up to know the basic doctrines. I would encourage you to sign up to our different Bible studies we have. Get in a life group to learn. So is studying, is learning, and growing in the knowledge of the Word a priority in your life? If we're going to be a growing church, There must be a transformation of our priorities. Yes, you come home from work and you're tired. Yes. You like to work on Saturday, relax on Saturday. I really do. I get it. But if nothing changes, nothing changes. It's insanity when we keep doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting a different result. Growing together means studying God's Word together. So this whole community in Acts chapter 2 stood in awe of God's power. The teaching of the apostles was nothing to mess around with. When they spoke, God worked. And there was a sense of wonder and awe and a fear at the utter blunt reality of what they said and did. And so the early church devoted itself to the apostles' teaching in the context of an awe-inspiring wonders and signs. We must ask ourselves, why don't we have the same sense of awe and fear of God and His power? The question to ask is, can we get back that awe of God? Being disciples that long and crave for God. He continues in verse 42 that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, and the breaking of bread and the prayers. Fellowship, koinonia, is built on the root word koinos, means common, having in common, sharing. And so it's the act of sharing or having things in common with an intimate group. Our life group helps us to fellowship with one another. We gather together, we learn more of God's Word, and to visit with other believers. Getting to know one another, enjoy each other's company, share burdens, rejoice with each other. Sometimes we do it over a meal, a snack, coffee, but this is biblical fellowship. The central focus of the early church fellowship was the breaking of bread, the Lord's table. It was the most fitting symbol of their fellowship, since it reminded them of the basis of their unity, a salvation in Christ and adherence to the apostolic doctrines. And when we share these things as common grounds with other believers, the Lord's table communion is the most appropriate symbol of our fellowship. We fellowship and we grow together in Christ. We eat and we drink in remembrance of Christ's self-sacrificing love that took Him to the cross. We want to make it our habit to practice that same kind of love toward others that Christ demonstrated toward us. Practically speaking, we need to be willing to really invest in other people. You say, well, how can I do that? Study the Word of God together. Pray for them. Encourage them. Edify them. Meet their needs if you're able. Love them enough to confront them when they're sinning. These are the marks of true Christian fellowship. This is the church as it was meant to be. The early church devoted themselves to the apostolic doctrines, the Word of God. They devoted themselves to fellowship and to prayer. When they gathered in a group in the temple and when they ate together in their homes, Luke says they focused on God and they prayed. They didn't talk about the latest sports news, which gladiator team won the championship. They didn't do that. They didn't spend time gossiping. They met together to pray to God. Matthew chapter 21, verse 13, Jesus said to those that were in the temple, "My house shall be called a house of prayer." True fellowship with other believers includes spending time in prayer together. And if we want to grow together, we must realize the importance of prayer, spending time praying for one another, with one another. And what happens when true believers remain under biblical teaching in a spiritual fellowship and in devotion to prayer? What happens? What happens when they spend time learning the scripture, the word of God? What happens when they spend time in fellowship? What happens when they spend time in prayer? There is this sense of awe that comes upon them. Verse 43, "And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles." As these believers prayed, they kept feeling a sense of awe. Your Bible may say fear. It means a reverent fear. And when they gathered together to pray, it was a sense of reverence. It was, they knew they were praying together was special. They were struck with wonder because of something divine or powerful that defies human explanation. Have you ever been in a prayer meeting like that? They're amazing. Spending time with God in prayer is a privilege that we have as believers. This is a sense of togetherness. Praying in unity before God the Father helps us to bring us together in Christ. Our church ought to instill some awe in our community. In this early church, they were in awe because of the many wonders and signs that were being done through the apostles. Those miracles and those wonders of the apostolic times are no longer necessary now that God's word is complete. We have the complete word of God. God's power remains on display. The transformation of people's lives is an evidence of the display of God's power. Looking at the stars at night when you're out where there's no light pollution and you can see the creation of God, it cries, "There is a God," and we ought to be in awe, who just spoke those words and the heavens and the earth were created. What could be more miraculous than giving life to people who are dead in sin? He heals people of their hurts, puts broken marriages back together, brings people out of the bondage of sin to Christ. Jesus Christ transforms lives. And when the church follows God's plan, He will do marvelous and powerful things in individual lives before a watching world. But being devoted to teaching, to fellowship, and prayer means we are going to need to ask God to help us transform our priorities. When we see God as the top priority in our lives, these other things will fall into their place. What is your priority today? Who is your priority? Yes, you're here in this church service this morning, but is that enough? Do you fellowship with other believers regularly? Where you study God's word together? Whether you fellowship, you pray together? Will you join one of the ongoing Bible studies to fellowship and grow? Will you join us when we meet together on Wednesday nights for prayer? Growing together means transforming our priorities. Know what I want, but what not what I want, but what God wants. You see, a growing church realizes the importance of community, the importance of doing life together, and that actually leads us to the transformation from self to a community. In verse 44, and all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. What is community, speaking from a Christian perspective? A community is a group of believers who live and experience life together like a family, gathered around the table, in fellowship, breaking of bread, and in prayer. They see God as their Father because of their faith in the person and the work of Jesus Christ and the regeneration of the Holy Spirit. They know God's divine love that leads them to love one another as brothers and sisters. They treat one another as children of God, deeply loved by the Father in everything, sharing their money, time, resources, needs, their hurts, their successes. They know each other well, including knowing each other's stories. They know one another's strengths and struggles in regards to belief to the gospel and its application to all of life. Community means getting outside of myself and seeing the needs of others. Getting my eyes off of myself and focusing on others. The early church was full of love. They had all things in common. There was ownership in the early church. Believers didn't live in a commune, but they were quick and ready to help those who had a need. They voluntarily sold and shared what they had to help others as needed. That kind of sacrificial love is the result of God's word work in obedient believers who follow His plan. There is a saying in today's world, get all you can and can all you can get. But that's actually contrary to how God wants us to live. Believers are not to hang on too tightly to our material possessions. We need to be ready and willing to use what resources God has given us to help those in need. It means sharing a meal, buying groceries for someone, helping with rent, buying a tank of gas for someone, watching kids, mowing a lawn. We can all do something. It's not the size of the gift that God looks at, but it's the heart behind the gift. Do you share with others in the name of Christ? Doing so helps us to grow together for God's glory. You see, the transformation from self to community can also be a support and encouragement to others when they go through trials and difficulties. Celebrating new life, mourning with those who hurt over the loss of a life, a community of believers that rejoice together and share one another's burdens. Look at verse 46. It just tells us that this young church attended the temple together daily. They met in their homes, they ate together, they fellowshiped together, and they did all of this with grumbling and complaining, right? No. This verse tells us that they did it with glad and generous hearts. These are the same people who earlier had cried out, away with him, crucify him, crucify him. Only Jesus can make that kind of transformation in a life, from hatred to love. They went from wanting Jesus dead to being devoted to the teachings of his apostles. They went from avoiding other Christians to fellowshipping with them, breaking bread together, helping those who had need. They went from community of unbelievers to a community of Christ followers. And they were doing this with gladness and praise. Verse 46. And day by day, attending the temple together, breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Before Christ changed their lives, they were celebrating in his death on the cross. Yes! The one that claims to be God. But now, as new believers in Jesus Christ, they were celebrating him and their new life in Christ. They did life together with other believers. They sat under the teaching of the apostles. They were being discipled and making disciples. They were observing all that they were being taught by the apostles. And this is what discipleship is. It's investing in the lives of others, helping them to grow in their walk with Christ. And God wants us to grow together. We can see how to do this by observing how the early church grew. If you read chapter 2, you'll find something interesting. It was God who added to the church. It wasn't because they had a flamboyant speaker. It wasn't because they had smoke and lights and a wonderful praise team. It wasn't that at all. You see, it was that awe of God. The Lord blesses those who labor according to his plan. He fills the obedient church with gladness and praise. Church, how can we not celebrate when we see God at work in our midst? How can we keep from rejoicing when we see God use our church to make an internal impact in the world? When God's church follows his design and his plan, he will bless. We are to be obedient to his plan. He is the one who blesses. He is the one who will give the increase and add to the number. And verse 47 concludes, they were praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. We can celebrate what God has done. And we'll continue to celebrate what he is going to do. And I believe that Crossbridge's greatest days are still ahead of us. This is not... the greater is ahead of us. But we've got to follow God's plan. May God help us to be the church that is obedient to his word, a church that grows together, where everything we say and do is centered around the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that the type of church we should be? Let me show you what happened. And what I want you to take away from this today is this. The church in Jerusalem grew together in community around God's word. They did. You know what else? They grew together and they became increasingly united. There was a solidarity among the church there that they stood for righteousness and holiness. They stood by God's word and they were in fellowship together in prayer and doctrine and in and just following everything God wanted them to do. He was their priority. You know what else? They grew together, and that led them to have a vision for the outside of the church family, those that didn't know Christ, the others that still were crying out, crucifying, the others that were saying, there is no God, it's just a Big Bang theory, those out there who are agnostic, those who out there believe that if they were good, they can get to heaven. And they grew together in community around God's word. They became increasingly united as they fellowshiped together in the apostolic doctrine and fellowship with one another around the Lord's table and in prayers for one another. They grew together, and that gave them a vision for those outside the church family. And there is no reason on God's green earth that we shouldn't be just like this church. There's no reason. It's just a matter of who do you love more? Yourself or God? Listen, it's a struggle every day. I know it's hard to read the Word. I know it's hard to study. I know there's your times being demanded by the world. But there's something about a God who loved you enough to send His only Son to die for you that should bring about an awe, a wonder of how generous and gracious this God is to us. And that should drive a question in everyone's heart. Have I been transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ? Has my identity changed? Am I in Christ? Do I desire Him more than anything else? Do I love Him more than anything else? Am I willing to serve Him even in the midst of difficulty in the devotion that I have, knowing that it could be difficult to serve Him? Where does God and His church fit in on your list of priorities? Are you an active member here at Crossbridge? Are you in community and fellowship with believers here? Do you celebrate who Christ is and what He's done in your life? Listen, Christ is worth every sacrifice we can make and much, much more. That He should be the center of our universe. Our focus and attention should be directed at Him and Him alone. And where we get off as a church is when we get distracted by the things of the world. That they tell us, this is what a successful church looks like. Dark auditoriums, light shows, and smoke. Listen, they're fun to watch. I actually enjoy them, but I don't think God needs smoke and light shows to bring Him glory. His glory is more than enough. He doesn't need a praise team. The rocks will cry out in glory, glory to God. God has given a description here in Acts chapter 2 of how we can grow together in community around the Word of God. They grew together and became increasingly united. They grew together and it led them to a vision of those on the outside of the church family. So the question for us in 2020 is this: what are we going to do about growing together? And how are we going to handle that? Most of you already have 2020 planned out on your calendar. You've made sure that you have your vacation time set. You made sure that you have the family events. You have made sure of all these things. But where is God in your calendar? Where's God in my calendar? So I'm going to ask you to stand with me as the praise team comes. I'm going to ask you to just ask God to search your heart. And to begin in prayer. Do I want to be a part of a church that's like the church in Jerusalem? Do I want to commit my devotion to the doctrine of Christ, doctrines of the Bible? Do I want to commit myself to fellowship? I'm not talking cliques. I'm talking fellowship as believers. Not this group over here, this group over here, this group. I'm talking about fellowship. Like it'll be in heaven. That will glorify God. He'll be the priority of our life. What are you going to do with what you heard today? There's options. You say, I'm good, God. I'm following you. I'm there. Going to make you the priority, have you the priority, and I'm good. Are you saying, God, I didn't even have you on my calendar? And I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Help me to make you the priority. A lot can be done. Amazing thing about God that brings awe in our lives about Him is that He's a forgiving God. God's church will stand, though hell tries to destroy it. What are you going to do with what you heard? As the praise team sings, there's a place at these stairs, an invitation for you to come and just kneel down and pray and say, God, help me. I need you. My family needs you. I need fellowship. I need to know more about you. I need to learn. Whatever it is, there's a place here that you can pray. Would you come?
Thank you for joining us. Please feel free to share this message, but remember, don't charge for it or change it. The Lord's message should be free and for everyone.